Thank you very much. So I got this at the desk over there, and this is a free souvenir from KITP. So please take one. Okay, so let's start my talk. Okay, so the title is here. I will talk about the current inter-domain motion, especially emphasize adiabatic spin transfer torque based spin hole torque. And the collaborators are, okay, the people in my group, and Yoshinobu Nakatani of University of Electrical Communications did this micromagnetic simulation, and Hiroshi Kono, Osaka University, and Gen Tatara and Riken support from the theoretical side. And the people in Renesas Electronics and the people of Hideo Ono group gave us high quality of Amorphic films. Okay, this is after I'm on my talk. So, okay, I will talk about three topics. One is the current induced domain motion in symmetric nanowires. Today, I will talk about domain motion in cobalt nickel multi-martial layers with perpendicular anisotropy. All films consist of this material. And if we make symmetrical this kind of structure, then we can neglect the interface effects. So or we can investigate the bulk spin transfer torque inside a magnetic layer. And here I will show you the experimental evidence of intrinsic pinning for domain wall. And because the system has intrinsic and extrinsic pinning potentials, I try to determine both barriers. And then I move on to asymmetric nanowires by inserting MGO here. And then now we turn on the interfacial spin transfer torque. And in this system, if we vary the thickness of magnetic layer, then we observe change of domain motion direction along the electron flow direction to the current direction. And here we see the competition between bulk spin transfer torque versus interfacial torque. And in the thinner limit, domain motion is dominated by the domain Jarski-Moriya interaction plus a spin hole torque, I will show. And finally, I will show you our recent experiment on Jarosinski-Moriya interaction. One is instability of uniform ferromagnetic state by spin current injection. And the other is a very, I propose very simple method to estimate a DMR constant by using domain walls annihilation technique. Okay, this is the first topic. So we make this kind of symmetric structure. We need buffer layer to have perpendicular magnetic anisotropy, and we coat the same material. And then, because the structure is symmetrical, we can eliminate the effects of current induced magnetic field, electric field, and also we can cancel the interfacial effects like Lasche bar, DMR, and spin hole. And then this is the ideal system to investigate domain motion by thoroughly bulk adiabatic spin transfer torque and non-adiabatic spin transfer torque. Okay, so let me explain what's the intrinsic spinning for domain motion. So if we make a domain wall by using this kind of perpendicular magnetic material, usually we expect the formation of Bloch domain wall. This is because if we have narrow like this, then we have a magnetic charge here and there, which increases magnetostatic energy. So in general, this type of domain wall structure has higher energy than the Bloch domain wall. And then if we want to move this domain wall by using spin transfer torque, then the spin transfer torque rotates the magnetic moment inside the Bloch domain wall here to the direction of narrow wall. So now the spin transfer torque has to overcome to the energy difference between nail and Bloch domain walls, which create, which results in the threshold current density like this. So the internal pinning is created by this energy difference. And then how to prove the existence of intrinsic pinning? So as I mentioned, we have to overcome this energy difference, and we now emerging the ultimate situation means if what happens if we make an extremely narrow wire. In that case, we should have magnetic charge at the end, at the edge of this Bloch wall, which increases magnetic energy. Then, at the ultimately narrow wires, we expect the Bloch domain wall has larger energy than the narrow domain wall. In this case, the situation is opposite, so we have to overcome the barrier of Bloch domain wall. So in between, we should have the same energy for both domain walls, where we should have the zero threshold current density to move a domain wall. So to prove the existence of intrinsic pinning, we should do the experiment by change the wire width and then show existence of minimum or zero threshold current density for domain motion. And as I explained, by changing the domain wire width, we should have the change of domain structure from Bloch to nail. So to do this, we create this kind of device structure from this films. And this is the image, SEM image. And we have a carbon nickel wire here and several electrodes. To make a domain wall, we inject current through this electrode A to create a local magnetic field, which reverse domain around here. And it results in the creation of domain wall. And after the creation of domain wall, we push this domain wall by injecting current through this nanowire. And to detect the domain motion, we measure the whole resistance here to check the magnetization direction by using a normal Hall effect like this. Then, so this is a kind of summary of the study. We measure threshold current density as a function of wire width, and we see the minimum of threshold current density for the domain of motion. So this is first check. And then we try to check the domain structure change by measuring the domain wall resistance. As you can see here, for the wider domain, wider wire, we observed almost zero ohm domain wall resistance. And while at the narrowest one, we get a finite, in this case, 0.4 ohm domain wall resistance. And interestingly, in between, we have two types of resistance, almost zero and 0.4. So from this result, we speculate this nail wall and this Bloch wall and this around the minimum, because the nail wall and Bloch wall has a similar energy, we have both domain wall. Okay, from the two results, we will conclude the existence intrinsic pinning. M. So now we have two barriers. One is extrinsic pinning due to defect or artificial structure, and the other is intrinsic pinning. So this is created by the energy difference between domain walls, nail and Bloch. So from now on, I will show you actually we can determine the energies for two types of domain wall just by and measuring the pinning process of a domain wall from defect. So for this purpose, we set our domain wall at the whole crossbar like this. This is the pinning site of our domain wall. And then we observe the pinning process from this pinning site. The first experiment has been done by using the magnetic field. After setting a domain wall at this whole course, we apply some amount of magnetic field and to wait when a domain wall is depinned from the spinning side. So this is a kind of histogram created by 300 repeated measurements. So as you can see here, if you reduce the amplitude of the magnetic field a little bit, then you can see the longer depinning time. So we plot this histogram in a logarithm scale like this. This is a depinning probability as a function of time, waiting time. Then we can fit this data by using single exponential. It means the system has well-defined single pinning potential. And we can determine a barrier height from here by using a Lennox plot, by changing the amplitude of extramagnetic field. And the result is here. In this case, the system has a pinning potential of about 400 kBT. kBT means the room temperature thermal energy. And we did the similar thing by using the current. After setting a domain wall, then we apply a current through this nanowire and then wait a depinning time. And then we have a similar result. We can fit this result by using single exponential. But we use the RNS plot, then we get the barrier at about 60 kBT. This is much smaller than the barrier obtained by using magnetic field. So from at the same position, if we use the magnetic field as a driving force, then we get 400 kBT barrier. But in the case of current, it is only 60 kBT. So it means, so the system had two barriers, actually, and internal pinning for current in the domain of motion, and external pinning for magnetic field. And this sustained the thermal stability of a domain wall. Thus, this is a very good news from the viewpoint of application, because the compatibility of low power operation by current and high thermal stability by extreme pinning can be achieved by independent two of these two barriers. Okay, so now I'd like to move on the other case, cobalt nickel asymmetric structure. Okay, so we thought, okay, let me mention again our motivation. So by using symmetric structures, we can neglect the interface effect, and we check the adiabatic spin transfer at existence intrinsic pinning, and we determine two barriers. And by now, by changing the interface, we should have this kind of interfacial effect. And now we want to see the competition between bulk torque and interface torque. So for this purpose, we did the experiment by changing the magnetic layer thickness. Okay, this is our film, very similar, but we insert magnesium oxide layer between cobalt and our capping layer to create the asymmetric structure. And then we change the layer thickness by changing repetition number n here. And by this method, we change the thickness of cobalt nickel layer from 1.2 to 8.4 nanometers. And this is the result. Here, I plot domain wall motion probability as a function of current density. So here the current, the positive and negative, and we investigate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 samples by changing the thickness from 1.2 to 8.4. So for thinner one, we have domain of motion for positive current. This means in thinner material, the domain wall moves along the current direction. And we don't see any motion in negative region. And intermediate, we don't see any motion. And in thicker regime, we observe opposite domain wall motion against to the thinner one. So this is the motion of along electron flow direction. So based on the result for the symmetrical multilayer case, this direction indicates the domain motion is dominated by adiabatic spin transfer torque. And this is opposite direction, and it should be some interfacial effect. Okay. And we check the special current density as a function of perpendicular magnetic field. And then this result, in thicker regime, we see the special current density for domain motion is insensitive to the perpendicular magnetic field. So this is signature of precession motion of domain motion, adiabatic torque domain domain motion, which we have discussed in this paper. On the other hand, in thin regime, there is a strong dependence on perpendicular magnetic field like this, because the surface current density depends strongly on the external magnetic field. It means this is a signature of steady domain of motion. So apparently, the mechanism of a domain of motion is changed from thicker one to thinner one. And then question is, what's the driving mechanism in thinner layer? Okay, to make clear the mechanism, we did the experiment under in-plane magnetic field. And this kind of experiment has been reported by two groups in MIT, group of Professor Jeff Beach, and from IBM. And then yesterday, we get a very nice explanation for this kind of result by Hayashi-san. And today, the next speaker, Jeff, will explain maybe detail. And I will skip the detailed explanation, but there's a very important features here. One is we have two types of domain configuration. Here, the up, down, up domain wall, red line, and up, down domain line wall, like this, blue squares. And we see two domain configurations show anti-symmetric field dependence. And so here we have the narrow, which directs left forward. And if we change the direction of magnetic moment inside domain wall by applying longitudinal field rightward, then we have the reverse motion of domain wall. And these two features can be explained only by this kind of assumption. So we have chiral nail domain wall, which stabilized by Gerasim-Moya interaction, and we have spin hole torque from platinum layer. And I'd like to show a little bit more of our data. So here, I show the data, domain wall depending field versus current density. So we set a single domain wall at the pinning site and measure the deepening field under DC current. So in thick regime, we can see a slight positive slope. So it means now the current pushes the domain wall against the current direction. If we do the same experiment for thinner one, then the slope reverses. Now we have a negative slope. And in this case, the current pushes the domain wall along current direction. And this means in thinner one, we have non-adiabatic spin transfer torque. And in thinner one, spin hole spin transfer dominant. And because we have several data by changing our magnetic layer thickness, we plot this slope like this. And we assume we have now two kinds of magnetic effective field. One is spin fold torque, and the other is non-adiabatic spin transfer origin. And the sign is different. Then we fit our data by using this equation. Then we get this important two parameters, spin hole angle is 0.12, and beta non-adiabaticity is about 0.16. Now we get these parameters, and then we these experiment determined material barometer parameter into 1D model. Then there's only one fitting parameter is gyroscenic Moria interaction amplitude. By fitting of this only one parameter, we can fit our results both in longitudinal field and transfer field like this. And obtained amplitude is 0.35 millijoule per square meter, correspond to the effective magnetic field of about 1 kilo Ehlerstedt. Okay, so finally, I would like to show you our recent experiments. First one is the instability of uniform ferromagnetic state. In 2005, Shibata and Tatara-san, our chair, and Kono-san proposed the instability of this kind of uniform ferromagnetic state induced by injection of spin polarized current. It means if we inject high enough speed pole current to uniform magnetic state, then we should have this kind of multi-domain state. And this is explained by using this kind of cartoon. Here I plot the spin wave dispersion under I equals zero, current equals zero. And by injecting current, we can shift this spin wave dispersion like this. And here we can see the smaller spin wave energy for larger wave vector. It means spin current prefers non-collinear structure, spin structure rather than the uniform structure. And further increase of spin current injection results in the negative region of spin wave dispersion. So here they propose this negative energy means multi-domain creation. And actually with this such kind of experiment here, we create a single domain here. This is initial state. We inject high current density into the wire. Then we get this kind of multi-domain structure. So at that time, I was really excited. This is indeed the instability of ferromagnetic state. But we shakes the device temperature during current injection. And we found actually the device temperature really increased from room temperature to 550 degrees C, which is really close to the Curie temperature of this material. So at this time, we have to conclude this is not a spin current effect, but maybe thermal effect. Now, we have Gerasimenko-Moria interaction. So what can be expected by spin current plus DMI? As I mentioned, spin current prefers non-collinear smiths like this, and this structure depends on the direction of current. And also, Gerasimenko-Moria prefers some unique chirality. So spin current plus DMI maybe easily occurs instability. And if you see here, in this case, positive current plus DMI more easily created instability rather than negative current. So we did experiment to check our expectation. The experiment is rather simple. We have our device, we inject the current. If we create multi-domain state, and then we apply Amagat field to expand red region. Then we have a change in the Amagat state, which can be easily checked by measuring the whole resistance. If there is no creation, then it's the same, no resistance change. So here, I will show you, if we set a single domain, then we apply Amagat field, then we get this reduction in whole voltage, which means our domain wall has a pinning field about 300 or 400 L, which is much smaller than the coercivity of this material. So this works well. So this is the result. So we checked four configurations: upward magnetization, downward magnetization, plus positive and negative current. So as you can see here clearly, there is a clear difference between positive and negative current. And there's no difference upward and downward magnetization. So this is our expectation. And we check the dual heating, it's at least less than 100 K. Okay, so nucleation probability does not depend on initial magnetization direction. It means we can neglect Elster field effect, and the nucleation probability strongly depends on the current direction, which strongly indicates this effect is really induced by DMI, asymmetric effect. Okay. So finally, I'll show you one last slide. So I think, important to measure the strongest DMI. So here I would like to propose very simple method to measure it. So let's create two domain walls and then push them by applying Amagat field to expand red region. Because this nail wall has the same chirality, it is not easy to annihilate. And the annihilation field is almost proportional to the strongest DMI. So this is just a magnetic-magnetic calculation, but we have some experiment. And for example, in this structure, in this film, we get about 400 K annihilation field is about 0.2 or 0.3, which is very close to the DMI constant that we deduced from our domain wall motion experiment, as I shown before. So maybe it works well. Okay, so I'd like to thank my group. And then this is my summary. Thank you very much for your attention.
Donc,
thanks for this nice talk. I have two questions. One is, of course, your proposal to measure DMI only works if the pinning of the domain is not higher. So this is always a lower bound for the DMI constant you can measure.
Yes, right.
Yeah. And the second is, so the strength of the effective DMI field that you measure is about a factor 2 less than what Stuart Parkin measures in his wires. Do you have a feeling for what in the structure determines the strength of the DMI?
Oh, it's very difficult. Actually, we want to increase the DMI constant.
Of course.
And the difference. I'm not sure. Maybe the quality of the interface. Actually, they use the same interface, platinum cobalt, if I correctly remember.
Yeah, it depends, of course, on the thickness as well of the materials because of the growth. But OK, I mean, you didn't vary anything to check how the strength of the DMI field depends on either the materials or the thicknesses.
But actually, we'd like to increase the DMI constant so that the method I propose finally, I think it's very effective method to check.
To measure once you have changed it, yeah.
It's a very interesting, simple method and very fast.
And so you would create the domain walls by heating above TC, or how would you create the domain walls in the first place?
Usually we create a local Oersted field.
Oh, with an Oersted field.
Yeah.
So you just generate two domain walls and then check the annihilation of those two.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
So you experimented, don't you see the creep region?
Creep
region in the domain wall.
No.
You don't see the creep region.
No. Actually, we tried. We tried, but it's very difficult because our wire has a relatively larger pinning potential, say 200 or 300 Oersted. And in that case, the creep is very difficult to observe. It's we tried. So.
Okay, other questions? So in the presence of the DM interaction, the domain wall solution is not like without the case without. I mean, the spiral structure becomes the true ground state if DM is strong.
Hmm.
So experimentally, do you see some difference between the, the case without DM and with DM on the structure of domain wall? The DM is too weak here to see the difference, or?
Actually, if we have large enough DMI, then the ground state is spiral, of course. But in this case, the DMI is much smaller than the perpendicular magnetic anisotropy. Mm-hmm. So in that case, what we expect is an almost uniform state, almost all region.
Mm-hmm.
But at the edge of the wire, there's the missing of the exchange neighboring. So it means I expect only a little bit tilt at the nearly end of the wire. Mm. And most of the wire has a uniform state.
Yeah. Mm. I see. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
So in the last part of the talk about instability of uniform state, isn't it possible that thermal magnons can play some role there? Thermally activated magnons. If this conducting current hit the sample, the magnons will be activated. So isn't it possible that they play some role?
Yes, maybe by using brilliant light scattering, it's possible. Usually they observe the thermal excited magnon even at room temperature. So now it is heated, and also actually maybe we can see the spin wave Doppler shift. And then the other thing is that if we measure spin wave propagation in the system with DMI, then the spin wave wavelength depends on the propagation direction. So from the from which we can determine the DMI constant. But actually, we tried this experiment, but it is rather difficult. So
your question was, magnons can affect the asymmetry or no?
For the current-induced domain nucleation, so here you see an asymmetry.
Asymmetry.
You had a figure, I think, after this or before this, where you showed the chiral structure of the domain. You showed the mechanism of the, or schematically the mechanism of the symmetry breaking with some arrows. So one thing I would ask or comment on, in this nucleation process, because you're creating a reverse domain, you're always creating a pair of domain walls. And one of the domain walls then, because they have the same chirality, one of the domain walls would have an internal moment pointing to the right, say, and the other one would have an internal moment pointing towards the left. So beginning from the uniformly magnetized state, the spin Hall effective field would be pointing along one of those, but anti-parallel to the other. So I see it could bring down the energy barrier for one of these domain walls, but bring up the energy barrier for the other domain wall. So looking very carefully at the energetics of that process as you go to nucleate both of these domains, both of these domain walls as you nucleate the domain, it's not, schematically it's not clear to me that the total energy would come down, the total threshold would come down for that. Although experimentally, certainly you see an asymmetry, and somehow there's got to be a symmetry breaking arising
you're
from this.
You're talking about the effect of spin Hotel.
No, but I think it's very interesting. I think that has to be the ingredient for breaking that that symmetry.
Actually, we did a micro-moon simulation by adding the DMI, mm-hmm. and then we see this this very similar result by micro-moon simulation without spin Hall torque. And of course, we check the spin Hall torque effect, and then and by using a realistic magnetic parameter, there's so much big difference between with and without spin Hall torque.
Oh, I see. So this the nucleation, the torque then is which, the adiabatic or the non-adiabatic torque?
I mean this. I think this is. This is correct figure one. Actually, I asked Tatara-san to calculate this system, so then he will give us the answer. But in my mind, this is a kind of spin wave Doppler shift. The spin wave Doppler shift creates instability, and it depends on the direction of the injection current. So it's a picture in my mind.
Okay, but it is one of the spin transfer torques and not the spin
Hall
torque.
Spin transfer
stabilized.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has it in mind.
Okay. Then I understand.
Yes.
Since we have time, I would just like to clarify. Can you go back to the slide in which you have this plot with the main wall velocity as a function of current, so as a function of magnetic field? This one. So, could you go over this argument again and explain why this can only be explained? You said due to the combination of domain Gerald-Finsky-Murray interaction and spin Hall torque. So, how do you see that directly? That these two ingredients are essential.
DMI.
For example, DMI. Why is DMI is essential?
First of all. Okay, so okay, so if there is not DMI, then we cannot stabilize the chirality of a domain wall.
Okay. But what chirality? So you have applied field, right? So that picks for a given domain wall, I guess it picks the chirality. Could you just explain that? Which chirality, what has been stabilized?
Okay.
I mean, isn't the type of domain wall fixed by the applied field?
In this case, we assume this type of chirality is stabilized in the domain wall for this is a up-down domain wall, and this is a down-up domain wall.
But in the presence, the longitudinal field is applied. In which direction is the longitudinal field applied?
This way.
So wouldn't that choose the chirality?
So at this, we believe at this point, the chirality did not change, but here, this is our assumption, because the chirality changed here to there, leftward, rightward, there is a change in the direction of domain motion here, positive to negative. This can be explained by assuming that chirality change and the spin transfer.
But chirality, you expect chirality to change due to the longitudinal field, don't you?
Yeah.
Why don't it just? I'm obviously just missing something elementary. Could you, like, make a clear case why Jelshinsky-Morey interaction is necessary?
Okay. If there's no, there's no Jelshinsky-Morey.
Yeah. What do you expect?
Yeah. Okay. Expect. Okay.
Let's start from the left, from a strong negative field.
Okay. Strong negative field.
So that's a texture.
Okay, there's no DMI, and then it does, in that case, simplest case, in this region, the magnetic moment is a domain wall, left wall, and here the right wall. So we should see the domain wall velocity change positive to negative here.
So what are you plotting? Is that the texture that you expect based on Jelshinsky-Morey interaction?
Or that's to explain this experiment result, we need this texture.
Oh, I'm still confused.
Okay, I'll just say more simply. The direction of domain motion is determined the direction of this magnetic moment.
Yeah.
And spin transfer torque.
That's right. But the direction of that magnetic moment is determined also by a longitudinal field, at least if you go to the extreme left and the extreme right. So that direction is fixed by the longitudinal field, isn't it?
That's why we have here the change in the domain wall motion direction.
So the Jelshinsky-Morey interaction just kind of shifts everything to the right?
Offset is a DM interaction.
Offset in the horizontal direction.
Yeah, actually, you can see it is about 1 kilo Oersted.
So that's the Jelshinsky-Morey. That's like 500 or something.
How field pulse? The static field. Current at 10 what, 15 nanoseconds. This is electrical measurement by using a Hall technique. Anomalous magnetic.
So many pulses to go for a large distance.
Yes.
Other comments, questions? Okay, let's thank the speaker again. The last speaker today is Professor Geoffrey Beach from MIT. He's going to talk about chiral ferromagnetic domain walls.